to disrespect, exploring the stigma around disability, providing information and interviews to entertain and challenge listeners who care about, or care for, or may themselves have become someone with a disability.
Welcome to the show, Dr. Gary Block, a family physician at St. Michael's Hospital and at Seton House Shelter in Toronto. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Gary, I understand you've made some fairly aggressive response to the provincial government's attempt to restrict access to the special diet program. For someone who isn't familiar with this issue, can you make a brief wrap-up of the progress to date?
Sure. Since about February of this year, the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty has been conducting a campaign to give people on social assistance, people on Ontario Works, Ontario Disability Support, access to what's known as a special diet supplement.
Right.
Which is an extra amount of money provided for under welfare legislation by the government and accessible to people on assistance as long as they are approved for the supplement by a healthcare provider. And the kind of new development, those two new developments, first of all, just increased awareness amongst recipients about the supplement.
Right.
And second of all, that we have been signing these forms, signing the special diet application forms for people to receive the full supplement of $250 a month for anyone on social assistance on the basis they're living in significant poverty.
Yeah.
And we've basically stated, and it's sort of a known fact, that poverty is the largest risk factor for ill health.
Right.
And based on that justification, we're saying that people with a diagnosis of poverty should receive the full special diet supplement.
In other words, they don't get enough money to buy the right food to eat.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they basically don't get enough money to cover their basic necessities of life.
So essential necessities of life. So the diet allowance would alleviate one of those shortages.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the diet allowance essentially makes up for the drop in welfare that's occurred over the past 10 years. The overall drop in real terms is about 40%.
Right.
So it's very significant.
So, okay. You know,
and that's not to say that welfare was at an adequate rate 10 years ago.
That's true.
But it's much lower now than it was then.
So you're talking about before the 21% drop or after?
I'm talking about the 21% drop, and since then,
and inflation.
The rest of the drop, is effectively a drop because of inflation.
Okay. So inflation's created almost another 20% drop.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's quite stunning when you think about the effect that has on people and, you know, families living in poverty.
Right.
It's huge.
And you're working with OCAP on this?
Yep.
What have OCAP done? How has the province responded, and how are you and OCAP dealing with that?
Sure. Well, the province responded by changing the forms that we're able to use. So essentially changing the application process for the special diet supplement.
Five or six times, I heard.
Five or six times, yeah. And most of the initial changes were actually reversed by the province because they realized they were untenable for a number of reasons.
Oh.
But after consultation with the Ontario Medical Association, the province came out with a radically new application process and a new form which shut down our ability to prescribe this supplement.
Well, it's a very prescriptive form, isn't it? In the sense that you can't prescribe the supplement, the form almost prescribes who can receive it and who can't.
That's right. And the change has been, I mean, what there was previously was a form which listed a number of diets that we could prescribe for people and just certify that they had a medical condition that required those diets.
Right.
We didn't have to state what that medical condition was. We could make the assessment that they required those diets. Essentially a medical assessment.
Right.
The new forms actually require us to state what a client's medical conditions are.
Yeah.
And there's no provision on there for saying what diets they need or what type of supplement they need.
So someone else makes the decision about what diet or supplement they need.
That's right. So it's put in the hand of that client's social services worker to match up their condition with an amount of supplements, of special diet supplements.
Really? So it's literally made by the social services agency?
Exactly. It's literally made by the social services agency.
Yeah.
They're quite restricted as well. I mean, every condition is matched up with a very specific amount of money that they're allowed to give for it.
And if you don't have such a condition, there's no money matched
up to it. There's no money matched up to it.
I see.
And it doesn't give us the latitude to prescribe the supplement for any condition that's not on the form. And, of course, poverty is not on that form.
Of course.
Even though I 100% believe it should be. I mean, again, it's the largest risk factor for ill health.
Right.
The amounts of money that almost anyone who is receiving the supplement would be eligible for has dropped dramatically. I mean, I don't have exact figures for you. I mean, we haven't done a study on this yet, but I would guess that for most people, the amount will drop by somewhere around 75 to 90%.
Right.
Many of the conditions are now worth around $10 to $20
right.
per condition, whereas people previously were receiving around $250 of a supplement.
Special diet supplements for people who are now receiving them will drop from 75 to 90%.
That's correct, which is a devastating drop for someone living in poverty. I mean, if you can imagine a family of, you know, three children and a single parent who might have been receiving a supplement of $1,000 in the past, and that supplement may now go down to less than $100.
Oh, I never thought of that. For every child gets the supplement, yeah?
Absolutely. And many people were surviving, literally surviving off of that supplement.
Yeah.
And this will be devastating. And this is, I mean, nothing short of a welfare cut from a government that pledged to reverse the cuts in welfare that were brought in by the Conservatives.
And hasn't done so.
And has not done so.
I
see. Absolutely. So in terms of our response to this, I mean, it's been on a number of levels, but the most, I mean, from the political level in lobbying the government and the Ontario Medical Association to the sort of broad political level, I mean, there was a large rally a couple of weekends ago at Nathan Phillips Square, and they walked up to Sandra Cupitello's residence in Toronto.
Oh.
She's the Minister of Community and Social Services.
Right.
But the most recent response has been to file a privacy complaint with the Information and Privacy Commissioner of Ontario. And the grounds for this is the fact that we now have to reveal a client's medical conditions, health
yes.
conditions, to their social services worker. And I don't in any way think that's appropriate.
And then a social service worker has to assess someone who has AIDS.
Yes, I mean, and they always have had to assess people with AIDS
yeah.
or with HIV, but they never had the right to know that information. In fact, I don't think they have the right now, but
yeah.
this form forces a client to reveal that information.
Yeah.
They're sort of, I mean, they're obviously between a rock and a hard place,
yeah.
between revealing their condition to their social services worker and all the potential discrimination and stereotypes that can come along with that, and alternatively, giving up the supplement if they don't wish to reveal that condition. What we've done is asking the Information and Privacy Commissioner, Anne Kavoukian, to deal directly with the ministry.
All right. That
and
makes
to
sense.
Bring forward this complaint as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've asked the Information and Privacy Commission to request that the ministry allow us a hiatus, a period of time in which we could use the old forms until this privacy issue is assessed and dealt with.
Oh.
I haven't yet heard back from them on
okay.
that request. But I think that's where we need to turn our efforts first.
As an MD, and particularly a family physician, you must be a little embarrassed by the OMA's consultation with doctors coming to a solution like this? I don't mean personally, but I mean professionally.
Yeah, I am. I'm speaking about the group of us that's been involved with this on the front lines. We're quite upset about the way this process was carried forward.
Yeah.
We did ask the OMA a number of times to be brought to the table, or at least be consulted around the changes to this form.
Right.
And that was a request that was flatly denied.
Yeah.
And, which we think was absolutely inappropriate, given the fact that we are the health providers who see this form and who use this form more than any others.
Yeah.
In the province.
Yeah.
And the OMA basically declared this an emergency situation from their end, claiming that physicians were being threatened by social assistance recipients
right.
who were demanding the full $250 a month supplement.
Yeah.
And because of this, they felt it was too emergent a situation to engage in proper consultation.
Yeah.
And so they were left with no choice but to cooperate with the ministry to create this new, very restrictive form that took all power out of the hands of healthcare providers to make the assessments required.
Yeah.
Of course I'm embarrassed by that. I'm embarrassed that they would go ahead and make such a rash decision without thinking about the big picture, and the big picture being that this effectively increases the poverty level of thousands of Ontarians.
It's not as if you're imposing this on people who are otherwise well provided for.
That's right.
Do you think there's anything can be done to move the OMA on this?
Well, we are actually meeting with the OMA on the 20th.
Yeah.
We being a group of concerned physicians.
So they finally agreed to meet with you.
They finally agreed to meet with us after the fact.
All right. And this is 5 days before, 4 days before Christmas?
That's right.
All right.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we'll see what they have to say at that meeting.
Right.
We are coming to them with the backing of a number of significant other healthcare organizations in Ontario.
Oh, good.
The Ontario College of Family Physicians has supported us. The Ontario Public Health Association has supported us. The Association of Medical Officers of Health of Ontario has supported us. The Registered Nurses Association of Ontario has supported us. And they've all expressed explicit support for our position, which is quite exciting. So really the OMA is the last holdout.
Good.
In terms of healthcare organizations.
All right.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
Good.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I would like to see the OMA declare its position on poverty and health.
Will they?
I don't know. We will certainly request it. Yeah. I would hope so. I mean, as I said many times before, poverty is well recognized as the number one determinant of health. And
yeah.
I think that certainly falls within the scope of the largest and most powerful medical organization in Ontario.
And now we'll take a short break.
Oh, Jesus, hear me praying, hear the words I'm saying, moist my soul with water from on high. Oh, with the world of sin around me, no evil thoughts can bind me. Oh, Savior, if you leave me, I will die. Oh, hide me in thy bosom until the storm of life is over. And rock me in the cradle of thy love. Oh, feed me, Jesus, feed me. 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 Until I want no more. And take me to thy blessed home above. My burden lighter, and help me to do good wherever I can. Oh, let thy presence thrill me, let the Holy Spirit fill me, and hold me in the hollow of thy hand. Oh, hide me in thy bosom until the storm of life is over. Then rock me in the cradle of thy love. Blessed home above.
And now, return to our interview.
We have a moral duty to provide for those who are disadvantaged in our society, and I think that Canada has a proud history of declaring itself to be a strong welfare state, and I think we should go with that history. It's one of the things that define us as Canadians.
Yeah.
I also think that it's very short-sighted to be cutting back on things like welfare because it just causes huge costs down the road.
Well, acute care costs for one.
Yeah.
Potentially community policing costs for another. You tell me. This is the generation who, at any rate, is going to manage the rules by which doctors' financial portfolios are run.
Right.
And what are they going to say? I think maybe the most positive light I can put on is these people are our caretakers tomorrow, whether we like it or believe it or not. They will be the government. Why are we mistreating them?
Sure, and I agree with that. I mean, you know, the positive spin I can put on it is one of hope.
Yeah.
Which is hope that the government recognizes that this is an effective cut to welfare.
Yeah.
And we'll turn around and actually raise welfare rates. You know, we'll actually say
they keep saying they want to, don't they?
They do, and it was one of their election promises.
What's your hope for this ruling? Do you have a date in mind for when this answer is likely to come down from the Privacy Commissioner? You said it's Ann Cavoukian?
It is Ann Cavoukian. I expect it'll be at least a couple of months.
Yeah.
Especially given that this is taking place over the holiday season.
Yeah.
I don't expect things will move particularly quickly, but I do know that they're treating this as a priority case.
Yeah.
And it actually, just to be clear, is what's called a commissioner-initiated complaint. While I sent the initial letter, I am not the primary complainant on this case, but the commissioner determines this is serious enough that she will carry it forward herself.
And she has the power to.
Oh, yes, and she definitely has the power to.
Okay.
So that gives me hope that this will come to resolution faster than it might otherwise.
OCAP has a rally this Thursday again, a town hall meeting, I understand.
The town hall meeting's in St. Michael's Hospital.
Okay.
In the Paul Marshall Auditorium, which is near the Queen Street entrance to the hospital.
Okay, and it's 7 o'clock.
At 7 o'clock, yeah.
Thursday, December 15th.
Yeah, exactly, and there's a great lineup of speakers. Everyone from Dennis Rafel, who's Canada's primary expert on the social determinants of health, to a physician who's been very involved in this, a nurse practitioner who's been very involved in this, and two social assistance recipients. So it'll be a chance for, you know, both to hear their perspectives and also for a good bit of audience participation, a chance to share ideas.
So there might even be some strategizing.
There may even be some strategizing, absolutely.
All right. How did they get there?
If you don't drive, you can come by TTC. The Queen Street streetcar goes right by there. Queen Street's subway station is right at Queen and Yonge, which is about a block west of the hospital.
Okay.
So it's certainly
so you can get off at Queen Street subway station and walk a block east.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. And if you're driving?
And if you're driving, you just need to come down Queen Street.
Yep.
To one block east of Yonge Street, and the hospital there. You can't miss it.
All right.
St. Michael's Hospital, the big sign saying the Urban Angel.
Parking pretty much catch-as-catch-can, then?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay.
And there is bicycle parking right out front of the door. There are a couple of parking lots right on Bond Street. There's
super.
A parking lot on Queen Street. There's a parking lot a bit farther east on Queen Street. So there's plenty of parking around there.
People who are really concerned,
yeah.
If they have any money left before Christmas, get down and try and establish something. It doesn't look too bad from here.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and I appreciate your taking time to tell us about it. When I guess people should subscribe to the OCAP newsletter if they want to know more, right?
That's right. And I mean, go to the OCAP website, ocap.ca.
Okay.
Subscribe there, I believe.
All right.
Well, if not, there's an email address for OCAP there.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
To you, too.
All right.
And don't hesitate to call again.
All right. Thanks, Gay.
Okay. Bye, Jeff.
Bye.
Brian Wood is back with us this week with a glimmer of hope for getting out of the hospital and into a home of his own. It's only been half a year. Here's Brian.
Welcome to the show. You were talking about some interesting things when we were talking off the air the other day. The hospital has responded to your need for housing.
Well, they've always maintained they've been trying to help out, and the hospital's put an ad in the paper advertising the fact that there's a gentleman on a fixed income looking for a place of a room and board or sharing an apartment or a room, whatever.
Yeah.
There's been two calls, but they haven't worked out because they're too far out of town for my needs at this point, but at least there's been a couple of responses.
Yeah.
And they're going to keep it in for this week and next week, and we'll wait and see what happens.
Okay. One you said was an hour out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was Fenland Falls?
Fenland Falls, yeah. It's about 35, 40 minutes north.
So still too far for someone who isn't mobile. Yeah, okay.
That's true, too.
All right. Anything changed at the hospital?
Not really. I think I'll be able to write a small book when I'm finished.
Okay.
You'd be surprised the amount of emotional and verbal abuse that's directed at patients. I find that really despicable.
What kinds of discrimination have you observed?
Well, sometimes people who have hearing and they speak to someone who's hard of hearing believe they're totally deaf, so they end up yelling at them and they don't need to. They just have to speak a bit louder and closer to the person's ear.
Right.
And other people overhearing that can have a perception that they're being yelled at when perhaps they're not meant to be, but still that happens and it's not necessary. It's the same with privacy curtains that are opened up without the nurse asking if they can come in.
Oh, I see.
Or when they're having to bathe someone who's incapacitated. I find it offensive when two or three of them are doing that and they're laughing away at some stupid story one or the other is told.
Oh, I see.
And there's a half-naked or a naked patient there. They might think they're the object of the laughter. That I find difficult. and it really shouldn't happen. And it happens in the, every morning at between 6 and 6:30, the lab people come in and snap on lights and they start talking in a regular tone of voice when people in the room or other people in the room are still sleeping.
Yeah.
I also find the catheters are overused.
Overused?
They're used as a time saver.
In what way?
The nurse doesn't have to bring a bedpan or a urinal jug to a person's bed for them to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Or the commode. They've got the catheter in there, so they just go and have a tinkle without having to bother the staff.
Oh, I see.
And I think that's really an invasive procedure that should be used as a last resort on people.
Sorry to hear that, especially at this time of year. I mean, it's objectionable at any time of year. For someone who is taking care of someone who is partially disabled or has a questionable amount of dementia, where would you recommend that they come from in their mind to achieve the state that's most helpful to the person they're helping out or trying to help out?
Just let the person try and do things for themselves.
Yeah.
And if they can't put their lipstick on straight, well, so what?
Yeah.
If they make a bit of a mess with their food, what does it matter? Put a towel under the plate or the bowl.
Yeah.
Or a placemat.
Let
them try and do things for themselves as much
as possible. Don't hold up able standards to people who aren't able and
right.
give them the opportunity to fulfill their own needs however
right.
they are able.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is it. It comes down to a question of dignity and self-worth. Let them experiment and see what they can do.
Okay.
When they can't do something, they'll tell you.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to feel wanted and smart and intelligent and able to do things. They don't want to be denigrated.
Yeah.
By anybody, whether it's family or hospital staff.
Yeah.
Or nursing home staff, for that matter.
Yeah.
Jeff, I'm sorry. The vast majority of the population doesn't care until it happens to themselves, and when it happens to themselves, it's too late to do anything about it. There's nothing you can do to prevent if you're going to have a catastrophic illness or you suddenly get disabled or you go blind or whatever.
Or you get old. Well, I was glad to hear about your ad got placed in the paper there.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope, you know, that the discussion required to arrive at that unusual measure will have opened a few people's minds. You haven't heard from Barb Kelly.
No. Now we're in the middle of a federal election campaign. Well, I don't know where I'll be registered to vote or not.
Oh, I see.
Patient in the hospital, God only knows.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that's your new home.
Yeah.
For the purposes of the election.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Well, maybe you've brightened some people's Christmas already then.
Oh, I hope.
All right. Well, it's nice talking to you today.
Okay, take care.
Greetings of the season, and we'll talk to you again.
Okay, keep warm.
All right.
Bye.
This is a new song to us. It requested that we try to sing today. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. If we love the Lord, we will feed each other. We'll help to each other in this life. We'll try, but thank the Lord. He said,
if you love me, feed my sheep.
He said,
if you love me, feed my sheep.
There's many and none safe in the fold. Some are straying in the cold.
He said, if you love me, feed my sheep.
Tell me who
did Jesus mean when he gave this urgent plea?
Tell me who
did Jesus mean, was it you or was it me?
There's not even none safe in the fold.
Some are straying in the cold.
He said,
love me,
feed my sheep.
He said,
if you love me, feed my sheep.
He said,
if you love me, feed my sheep. He knew his lambs would hungry grow.
Chilling winds would often blow.
He said,
love me, feed my sheep.
Tell me who
did Jesus mean when he gave his urgent plea?
Tell me
who did Jesus mean, was it you or was it me? There's not even none safe in the fold.
Some are straying in the cold.
He said,
love me, feed my sheep.
He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. Well, Peter and James and John are gone.
We the swert must carry on.
He said, if you love me,
feed my sheep.
Tell me who
did Jesus mean when he gave his surgeon flea?
Tell me who.
Did Jesus mean was you or was it me? There's 99 safe in the fold.
Some are straying in the cold.
He said, love me,
be my sheep.
Amen. Now we have some announcements we want to make at this time. Tonight, Brother Bill Rones will be preaching at Flat Rock Community Church. We invite you in around that area to come out there and be in the service tonight.
You heard the Dixie Hummingbirds, Hide Me in Thy Bosom, from the Essential Gospel Sampler. And at the conclusion of the show, from classic Southern Gospel, He Said, If You Love Me, Feed My Sheep, with the Stancer Quartet. Disrespect is looking for the names of politicians who are friendly to people with disabilities and supportive of their goals. You can send us this information at radio.stories@gmail.com, radio.stories@gmail.com. And we'd also like to hear what you want to hear on Disrespect related to disability, discrimination, and equity, radio.stories@gmail.com. If you're interested in the show, you think you might learn how to do digital editing, we're looking for a volunteer editor. Send us your name and your email, again, radio.stories@gmail.com. The show is digitally edited from live telephone and studio interviews.
I'm Eric Mouse. Disrespect would like to see you over the holidays and wishes you the very best this new year.